too much evidence is beginning to leak out. Yeah, welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Try to record some of that music on there a little bit. Well, I ended up adding it to the podcast anyway. I just like having fun with it. I wanted to start this new podcast and do it weekly for a variety of reasons, honestly. You know, we have a guest in on the Cognitive Rampage every week talking about their stories, philosophies, their drive. You know, it's all unscripted. You know, I like to just kind of get the raw out of people. You know, when I can sit in front of somebody for a length of time like that, eventually we can talk about issues that become real sensitive or real passionate to them. And you'll hear me on the Cognitive Rampage after they go off on a Cognitive Rampage. I'll call it out. You know, I'll say, now that's a Cognitive Rampage. And I believe we all have a Cognitive Rampage. You know, Jeremy Pound, my last guest, he asked me that night, you know, what a Cognitive Rampage was or what the whole philosophy meant, et cetera, behind all of it. And, you know, I spit something out and I tried to record it afterwards because he forced me to. But, you know, the Cognitive Rampage is about living your daily life with enthusiasm and chasing this passion with competence, right? See, I believe competence creates experience, right? When we seek competence, it can create experiences for us. And I believe we all have a cognitive rampage inside of us, you know, whatever that is. And, you know, we can make changes with those rampages, whether it's a change in humanity, a change in your family, a change in your community, a change in the world. You know, we all have that cognitive rampage that exists inside of us. And, you know, at the Cognitive Rampage, that's what we do, right? Is we grab a hold of certain issues, at least I know I do, and we run with them and chase down the competence in those issues. And I feed my passion daily, and it keeps me enthusiastic about, you know, those issues that I'm active about and about changing. And that's kind of what this podcast is about, this segment of the podcast. We're going to do one of these every week. And so Wednesday morning, I'm going to record this, and we're going to drop it Thursday on the podcast. But I'm going to scan my social media all week looking for articles and posts and shares that you all do on social media that relate to the issues that we cover at the Cognitive Rampage, and probably even some issues outside of what we like to focus on as well. That's just that activist part of me. So I'm going to be scanning some of the social media. I'm going to share it on our social media site. If you come across articles or research that you think you know, needs to be shouted out, tag Cognitive Rampage in your posts, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or Instagram and or Google Plus, whatever. And I'll find the articles, or we'll find the article somewhere, and we'll share it on our social media site, and I'll cover it and give you a shout out on this podcast. Thank you, you know, for putting out that message, and we'll cover it briefly on each of them. But for those of you that are either just new to the Cognitive Rampage or just, you know, joining us and listening and joining the tribe, you can join the tribe, which I call the Tribe of Change, at cognitiverampage.com or adamlowry.com, L-O-W-E-R-Y.com. And just simply join the tribe by sending us your email. That'll add you to the Tribe of Change. And then what I can do is when we record these podcasts Wednesday is I'll personally invite you. And then if you want to, Wednesday, 8 a.m., you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, you can join the podcast. You can be a virtual audience, if you will. I'm on Facebook and all my social media as I'm recording this. So you could even, you know, send me a message or post or something like that and communicate with us. If you're listening to the podcast, but if you're listening to this Thursday morning, 8 a.m., good morning. It's Thursday. It's almost Friday. This is how you kind of gain some competence, right? See, I know we all wake up in the morning, and at some point of our day, some of us thumb through our social media, right? We thumb through it looking for interesting things, funny things, etc. So what I'm trying to provide for you on this podcast is a Thursday morning that you can get up, because I'm an avid podcast listener, right? I listen to all kinds. And, you know, when I have a free moment, the first thing I really do is find that podcast and put it in my ear. And I do that when I wake up in the morning, too. And I like to feed my head with competence when I first wake up in the morning. And so what I'm trying to give you here is a Thursday morning where you can count on about 8 a.m. this podcast populating on iTunes. If you have Android or use Android, we're on Stitcher, or you can just go to the website and listen to it there. And it's a Thursday morning where you can wake up and maybe you don't have to thumb through your social media that morning, and you can kind of take your time and enjoy your coffee a little bit more maybe, and, you know, join the podcast or listen to the podcast and let me kind of share some of the issues that we're picking up on and what's out there. But it's a way to get all of you involved with the podcast because we are a tribe of change. It takes all of us to change anything, and it starts with awareness. And, you know, social media gives us that outlet to bring awareness to issues a lot of people don't know about or are just unaware of, including research and new changes in technology and how our human species is developing, right? All kinds of things. So big ups to social media for that and the podcasting. But, you know, that's kind of what this podcast is about. It's informal, I guess you could say, kind of like my interviews are as well, or not really interviews, or our Cognitive Rampage with our guests, but it's kind of me being real, us being hanging, talking about the issues. I'll probably update you once in a while. There's some big things happening at the Rampage. We got some really cool guests coming in. I don't want to put them out there yet because I haven't quite confirmed dates, but I've got okays and yeses, but you know, I'll put them out there. We're looking to book Jane McGonigal from Avant Games. She's amazing. She was on the Tim Ferriss Show. She was on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, but she is quite amazing. We're looking to book her. She's agreed to it. We just haven't set a date. And Dr. Carl Hart actually is probably looking to come on in late December. He's on walkabout right now in Malaysia writing his book. You know, my wife asked me, you know, if you could have anybody on the podcast, who would it be? And that was a hard choice because holy shit, right? There's so many out there. But right now, at the time, I chose Dr. Carl Hart because he's such a virtual mentor of mine. And he's, you know, really on the cusp of living a cognitive rampage. Because look, I'll be honest, when you really start to live a cognitive rampage and discover these things that are out there, it really doesn't make you popular, which is kind of backwards for what we're trying to do with the podcast and everything here is get popular. But the idea, a lot of the notions and views and ideas that we take on at the Rampage are not popular. So, well, that's what we try to take on. But Dr. Carl Hart covers those issues a lot about drugs, what they mean. He even calls drugs a bad word. I like that. It's like saying I like sports, right? There's curling, there's tennis, there's golf, there's football, right? There's rugby. There's all kinds of sports. So drugs is a very vague topic. You know, so he says things like, you know, to say we want a drug-free America, that's fucking retarded. Well, that would include your Advil, your Tylenol, your penicillin, everything, right? Well, I guess that'll kind of take me into telling you about the major issues that we focus on at the Cognitive Rampage. You can see those issues and that we list on the website again at cognitiverampage.com or adamlowry.com. But, you know, I call myself a mental health activist, right? And other titles for things, whatever. But obviously, mental health in the system of which we use today needs changing. There is some serious, serious fucking issues with mental health today, whether that's relating it to gun issues or just the all-in-all effects that it has on people's day-to-day life and families, etc., from depression, etc. But mental health is a wide variety, right? Because there's all kinds of ways to treat mental health, right? You wouldn't think that if you went to a government rehab facility. They would tell you there's really one way or two, pills and 12 steps. But that's one of the issues that we talk about. So I like to refer to what I think is happening in the United States right now is an epidemic that I call chemical incarceration. And this is a prescription epidemic, if you ask me. Nearly 50% of the United States population is on some kind of daily medication. That's scary to fucking think about, that half of the people are taking daily medications. Now, we didn't have all these meds, and look, I'm a fan of certain medications. They do miracles. They can do wonderful things. I get that. I'm not that fucking naive, okay? I get that these things help. I'm not stupid to this. But let's be honest, 50% of the United States do not need to be taking a fucking pill every day. Or they take it to go to sleep every day, right? So what we attack at the Cognitive Rampage are all aspects that perpetuate this prescription epidemic of chemical incarceration. I mean, it's the first line of defense in everything in the United States, right? It's the first line of defense in depression. It's the first line of defense against weight loss, right? It becomes a fucking magic pill society is what I call it. So we take on those mental health issues, if you will. And chemical incarceration is a big one. This includes any aspects of big pharma, how they pretty much fucking own every drug, the rights. You heard recently how the guy had the one medication and he bought it, raised the price to $7.50 from $13, etc. So it's things like that add to it. Part of chemical incarceration, I believe, is also a process that stems from government-funded rehabs. These are Medicare-funded dual diagnosis facilities. There are major issues in these fucking facilities. And people think, you know, they're sending people away to do a good thing. All right, they're going to rehab. When I'm like, fuck, you're headed to the process of chemical incarceration. You're headed there. See, in shows like, Intervention and other daily shows, not the Daily Show, but other daytime talk shows, they perpetuate this idea of this victory that someone has committed themselves to rehab. This shit gets on my fucking nerves. As if like, okay, it's all great now. And families do these fucking interventions, which I'm not a fan of. You know, hey, we all love you, but you're fucked, right? They really turn this to ignoring, right? They call it enabling, etc. But anyway, then they shove you off to this and they celebrate it as if it's this victory, right? That they're heading off to rehab. Well, in rehab, they teach you that relapse is a part of fucking recovery. They make you accept all these different crazy things. Look, there are some good rehab facilities out there. That's no joke, right? But I would venture to say that none of them are Medicare funded or have the government hands in it as far as being paid somehow. They are not. They run at minimums and they're shit facilities and they push pills. That's what they do. Okay. And so there's issues there. So we cover all kinds of that. So from addiction to synthetic chemical incarceration, as well as issues in all kinds of therapy, right? And this takes us to other issues that I have with certain treatments. I am a fan of marijuana for all kinds of treatments, all kinds of dosing. I do believe marijuana could replace the top five medications. This is actually what's an article I will reference. It's on my Twitter account. Let me pull up my Twitter real quick to give some love to one of the first articles. That I'm basically wanting to cover some of these, you know, the shit that we talk about, some of the big issues that we like to focus on at the Rampage. So that chemical incarceration, anything around big pharma, etc. But I shared on my Twitter, you can find it at AdamLowry.com or Cognitive Rampage, either one. But it was a video of course, be difficult to find. It's always easier on the phone, it seems like, doesn't it? It's weird. Actually, it probably is on my Facebook page where more than likely I shared it. Let's see. I shared a couple new things that I'm going to talk about this morning about Mexico possibly legalizing marijuana. Pretty wild. Let's see. The top five medications I believe marijuana could replace is like it's Adderall that they use for ADHD medication, which is simply methamphetamine with a little molecule change. Antidepressants as well. All kinds of certain medications that marijuana can replace. And for people out there that may have been diagnosed as bipolar or et cetera, this can be a very loose term nowadays. I'm going to go back to that in a minute. See, I get all fucking sidetracked. But along with marijuana treatment, we also talk about emerging research as far as psychedelics for treatments. This is anywhere from ayahuasca for treating PTSD and other traumatic events to Iboga or Ibogaine for treating things like alcoholism, and psilocybin for treating things like depression and anxiety, etc. There's all types of psychedelics out there. And I have predicted, and I will predict again, that I believe microdosing of psychedelics will replace antidepressants by 2025. I think that's going to happen. We've had a few people on the show talking about their experiences with these psychedelics and how it's changed their life. Damiano was one of our guests on the show. We had him on the show because he documented his ayahuasca treatment and experience. And Tony Jack the Bear Mance was also on our show. He's a good friend of mine. Shout out to you, Tony, over in Australia. Check out his podcast, by the way. You can look it up. It's called Melbourne Real. But Tony Jack the Bear talked about his DMT experience a couple years ago and how that changed his life. And I meet these people all the time. A psychedelic experience with psilocybin actually changed my life and kind of put me on the path that I'm on now. I've shared that a few times on the podcast. I even shared that on the Joe Rogan Experience appearance. But I believe there's amazing things to come in that field. So those are more of the issues that we talk about, right? And that leads me to, so from chemical incarceration, synthetic issues, treatments, dual diagnosis, recovery, rehab, issues with therapy, issues with the standardized treatment of therapy, as well as people ignoring the positive effects of marijuana and psychedelics in treatment. Those are a lot of the main issues we focus on. And see, you'll also see on the website that I post up issues with academic therapy or training therapy. And what I refer to this is the issues with this diagnostic Bible that used to be the DSM-5, that's now the I-9 something for codes, but I hear it still is the DSM-5 sometimes, who knows. But essentially, this is the diagnostic Bible, if you will. All the criteria, if you will, exist within this book. And this book has been fucked many, many times. There's all kinds of influence that goes into writing this book. The new release of this new DSM-5 and its changes have done nothing but widen spectrums to allow more diagnosis, such as bipolar. They've even talked about increasing bipolar 1 and 2, there's already a 3, to bipolar 1 through 8. And if you see, they're beginning to widen the diagnostic spectrum of people to where now everyone qualifies to take more fucking pills. So this is the big issue I have. And so a lot of the academic training of therapists really doesn't relate to the pharmacology that which is the first line of defense used. And so a lot of therapists are out there coming out of school or have been putting their work in for years, trying to use the things they've been taught, like cognitive behavioral therapy and other very successful approaches, but they've been forced by certain facilities to use just the 12 steps, which they do not teach in master's programs, by the way. And they're forced into the 12 steps, and they're forced to have to deal with people that are sold on the idea that they have a disease or that they're on this medication and it's for life. And so it becomes a real fucking battle out there. And so academic therapy has some fucking issues, as well as its so-called peer review articles. A friend of mine on Facebook who shares, I should say a virtual friend or a tribe member, that's BLK King, he shared a couple things with me about some issues they're now finding and putting out there about so-called empirical-backed or peer-reviewed articles. You know, it's a noisy marketplace out there, as Jeremy referred to it on the podcast. And it's the same way in mental health and science and research. It's a noisy research marketplace about what's real and what exists. And money can curb research. That's the crazy fucking part. See, is if you got the right money, you can fund the research to say just about whatever it is you need it to. And so for people that share studies and look at these and look at that, well, what you got to do is take it a step farther and go into who's actually funding the research. And a lot of times, two or three more steps into the research, you can see that the research being published or peer-reviewed or even written by a doctor, that they're either funded or paid somehow by some benefactor from this type of research. The same goes with political polls. It's the same way. You know, So I take issues with a lot of those things. And a lot of people don't know these things, man. These things are scary to some people. They really don't realize that that's really happening. And, you know, when I started shouting all this shit out on the Joe Rogan Experience, man, I got blacklisted in rehab and recovery facilities. I was fired before I even got back from L.A. By two companies here locally in Orlando after that appearance, is because they know, right? And they end up taking advantage of the actual mental health care workers themselves. So shout out to all the mental health care workers and social workers out there that are busting your ass, that I know the man's got you. The man knows that somebody will fill your spot for less money. They know you got degree debt and loans you got to pay off, and they're fucking you, and they're cutting your pay down to shit, and they're making you work longer hours for less pay. They're really monopolizing it, man. It's scary out there. That's some things we're going to cover on the podcast too. I got a guest coming on. I got to keep her secret, but Mrs. A is what we'll call her, but she'll be on sometime probably early December. And she is a mental health practitioner in the trenches and has been for a decade or so, who, like me, has some scary fucking stories about how this goes down. Oh, yeah, by the way, we are starting to film a documentary. We're starting to film the documentary to my second book, which is Chemical Incarceration. Now, Chemical Incarceration, the book is not out yet. It's really a manifesto, if you will. It's kind of me telling my account of what I witnessed once as inpatient before, and also from the therapist chair. But what we're trying to do, shout out to my buddy, my partner with the film and producer, director, Daniel McNamara. McNamara, my boy out there, Rising Lamb, my best friend, my best man, my wedding too. But we're working on this film, and we want to get this film out there, but about the process, because I truly believe that the process is not broken. See, I think the process is designed to work exactly how it is. And this process, if you will, picture it. I'll give you a Star Wars reference, right? Picture this, or some sort of sci-fi reference, this tractor beam of evil that just is sucking everybody into it. Well, chemical incarceration is like this beam, right? And because it not only is in mental health care, it's also the first line of treatment in medical care, right? So many times people just get sucked into this tractor beam of chemical incarceration, and by accident, right? It's fucking crazy. And this process is amazing because they've sold you on the idea that the beginning of it is you need an intervention and need to be shipped off to rehab. Well, they sold it to you on the idea that it's the hero story in the beginning, when that's the beginning of the process to you being fucked for life. And it's crazy. And so what we want to do with chemical incarceration is bring this process to light and show you all the angles of the process and how it affects certain people. We're going to interview doctors in the process. Yep. We're going to interview therapists in the process, all the different people that find themselves in recovery. Because when I practiced inpatient at these facilities, you know, you could break up the types of people that have been addicts or been fighting addiction their whole life. I don't even like the word addict, but people have been fighting. Side note, remember, addiction can technically only be classified as addiction if the biopsychosocial is affected, meaning your biology, your social interaction connection, your work, etc. If these things are negatively affected, if your biopsychosocial is affected, then you could start to classify what it is you're doing as addiction, right? See, it's trippy. We all want to look at what we think we know. You have a drink a day, you're an alcoholic, or, you know, you shoot heroin every 2 days, you're an addict, right? And I know that's scary for some people to think about, but that's some of the shit that Dr. Carl Hart talks about, is what you see on shows like Intervention or what you hear about in these rehab facilities, and is about 15% of the using population. See, that's 15%. That's it. There's a whole 85% of the user population that their biopsychosocial is not negatively affected enough to where it can be even considered addiction. They use every day. And they continue to go to work, they pay their bills, they take care of their children, they work out. This is real. And these are the things that Dr. Carl Hart's talking about. He's trying to unvilify drugs and this angle that they have on people and this propaganda that's been sold to us since the fucking war on drugs was created. Remember, when you start a war, you got to create propaganda. We learned that back in World War I and how we helped Germany look like shit. So, of course, when we create a war, they started the propaganda. Remember, my generation and just before mine, my brother's generation and younger, kind of been raised on this propaganda of vilifying drugs, if you will, in this bad context. I mean, 50% of America takes a drug every day, right? I mean, these are the realities, and Dr. Carl Hart is spreading those realities. We parrot those realities that he's talking about, and we cover those issues again, you know, that I've been talking about so far. So those are the main issues we like to talk about. As you see, I will get tangential. I will get long-winded when it comes to these issues because they're all kinds of fucked, and it's fucking killing people. It's killing people every day. People are lost and not sure what to do. You know, they get hooked on these pills. They're told they have a disease. Then they're told it's their fault because they didn't work the program. It's fucking confusing out there, man. You know, it's nuts. So that's the kind of what we're going to be talking about on this podcast are those issues, and as well as political issues. Because, look, I like to say a lot of the things that I'm talking about are symptoms, which they are. A lot of the issues that we have with cops and racial issues, these are symptoms. I know these issues hit home to people's hearts and affect people's lives directly and indirectly, but it's hard to really see clear that way, which is the wisdom is these are symptoms, right? These are symptoms of a broken system, of a corrupt system. I don't even want to say broken system. Like I said, I think the system is working exactly how it was fucking designed to work, and they're taking advantage of it. So the system is what causes it. The perpetuation of poor education, the perpetuation of poverty, the perpetuation of separation of income inequality. These are the things, over imprisonment of certain races, over killing and targeting of certain races. I mean, I think it's like 60 or 75% of federal prisons, prisoners are in jail for some sort of marijuana charge. This is fucking ridiculous, you know? So, all of these are symptoms of a unbalanced, broken, and corrupt system, right? So as much as I know we talk about the symptoms here, you know, like the ones, the issues I've just talked about, understand that we do know, and as you know out there and the tribal members that listen, that this system is really what's perpetuating all of these bad symptoms. It's perpetuating war. It's perpetuating the overuse of all of our natural resources. It's perpetuating the pollution of our own earth and where we live. And we allow these things to happen. And so the system is working how it's supposed to, feeding who it's supposed to, and harming, numbing, and shutting out those it's supposed to. You know? And, you know, if these conversations, I think, can happen, right? Whether it's a podcast or whether you're listening to this podcast and you go to work and you talk to somebody about this issue, or you share an issue that's involved in your life and we can share and we can talk about it, well, then I think at least those conversations are happening, and it starts somewhere, right? Change starts somewhere. And I think it starts with conversations, because what he says it in V for Vendetta, which I love, that words have power and words have meaning and words live on. And so if the conversations that we can all start this way, maybe that's the beginning of change, right? Because it's uncomfortable sometimes to talk about these things. It's uncomfortable to get your fucking ass fired like I did when you're saying the truth about these things, when you got student loan debts to pay, etc., right? But fuck, we all got to swing and keep fighting against that, you know? And I'm standing here looking at Jason Fusco. He's a friend of mine. I actually went to high school with him. He's a cool fucking dude, man. Always has been. He hasn't changed much, but he's staring at me in this fucking video I shared on the Cognitive Rampage Facebook page. He titled it Alone in the Woods, and he sent this in a message to me just talking about how, you know, some of it was inspired by some of the Cognitive Rampages he listens to. And he shot himself, not shot himself, Jesus Christ. He filmed himself out in the woods for a while and talking. And I think for the production value from the iPhone, it's great. I really enjoyed it. If you got some time, and it's kind of inspiring, you know, I do what he does, and I disappear sometimes by orders of my wife to pack up the kayak and go away for a while. And I do that. And I suggest everyone do that. And that's why I wanted to talk about this one, because it may not focus directly on the issues, but I think it focuses his video on the personal issues, the individual issues we all have, right? He talks about in there about feeling like something wasn't right or he needed to clear something out. And I think we get like that, you know, and to me, that's an issue. It is an issue that personally we all feel like Jason does in this video. And I would, you know, prescribe exactly what he does. I would prescribe what I call your primal activity, right? Going out into nature and disappearing, right? It could be called a spiritual rampage, if you will, right? Going out into nature and returning there, because those spiritual rampages can help lead you back to your cognitive rampage. And he did that. And so check out his video, man. Shout out to Jason Fusco. Look him up. He's also an actor of sorts. He's the man. He's got a wonderful little kid that was in his first play yesterday. So shout out to your little boy too, Jason. Look him up, man. He's a funny dude too. Shit, man. Probably should be in a couple of movies that we're filming. Fuck. I don't know. Good to think about it, though. So I appreciate that share, Jason. I'm going to get in a couple of the other issues. There's a landmark case going on in Mexico. Supreme Court, they could pave the way for marijuana legalization in Mexico. It's a debate in Mexico Supreme Court right now. It's pretty extraordinary for two reasons, because it's being argued as it's being actually argued on the human rights ground because of all the violence that's happening, etc. So if you would, my wife mentioned this last night, if you could imagine living in the United States of America, where above us we have legalization in Canada and below us we have legalization in Mexico, and the United States still state by state by state slowly getting there, but is behind Canada and Mexico and adapting to the new fucking world. Are you fucking kidding me, man? This was drugpolicy.org is where I got the story from. Let me double check. I wasn't sharing somebody else's post. Yep, that's actually via Jason Silva. Not that you need a shout out, brother. Check out his videos. Jason Silva, he's all over the place. His show, Brain Games, and Shouts of Awe. He's all over the place, dude. I fucking love him. Jason Silva goes on some fucking serious cognitive rampages, man. He really has at it. But it could be amazing, though, if they legalize it there, then essentially, if it's legalized in Canada, legalized in Mexico, and it's illegal here, it's like the United States is perpetuating the drug war by itself by not legalizing. And this is a huge, you know, topic and or issue for me, big time, because I am a user of marijuana. I smoke and dose myself for various reasons. We are having a guest coming on the show, Christina Cusack. You'll see some of the videos on our Facebook page now. She was on Fox News. They interviewed her, but she's an amazing young woman, battling multiple sclerosis, a huge activist and fighter of legalization of marijuana. She'll actually be in the Cognitive Cave this Friday chatting with us, and we will be smoking it up, which she has to do. She has to smoke so she could be, can sit up in a long, for long periods of time without being in pain. I mean, it allows her to be able to carry that message with her. So, I'm a huge supporter of this. I also did a video, on my YouTube, which is Cognitive Rampage or Adam Lowry. Excuse me. It's also on the podcast too, about legalization in Florida. It's just not about Florida. I cover in a couple reasons, but there's a reason it's going state by state. And, you know, big multinational corporations are pretty much taking over the product, because if you can control supply, we already know demand is there. And so they're using legalization as this way, I think, to sort of control supply, because then they'll control who can grow it. For legalization, I still got to get an okay from somebody that I'm allowed to use it, when I think I should be able to just grow it out back, you know, like a tomato, right? I can grow tomatoes out back and eat them, but I still got to get licensed to be able to technically sell them. So why not just treat it like a tomato? You know, food itself can be medicine, and then so can marijuana. So I'm really for decriminalization. I know legalization, people argue with me that there's steps to this, and this is at least the first steps. And granted, I'll give you that. So if it helps out those that are sick and gets it there faster, then so be it. But I do believe that we have become too much a nation of policy and forgot that we are a nation of reason. We came here because of a lack of reason, and now we've established this fucking country and built it on fucking policy that we have forgot reason. And so we the people is what that shit says. So if you argue to me that it takes certain steps in government, I would argue, well, then it's not really we the people. It's we the fucking policy. And so I think decriminalization is really the way to go. I understand you could argue with me on business levels of controlling product and getting tax revenue from it, etc. Granted, I get all of that. But I think decriminalization is a faster way to do it. It's a big debate. You know, who knows? Maybe Christina Cusack and I will talk about that. I'd love to hear her views on those. But whatever's the fastest way, really, to get this to the people, that's what I'm for. And if we can get it to the people without big corporations getting their fucking greasy hands all over it and basically owning it, then that's ideal what I would like to search for. So thanks for sharing that, Jason Silva. And we shared it on the Cognitive Rampage that may be legal in Mexico before it's completely legal here. Also on the page, check out the podcast. We just posted it on Monday. All my guests' podcasts will drop on Monday. We record them Friday night because we really make it a thing. It's an experience doing the Cognitive Rampage podcast, man. The guests come in, you know, we hang out in the green room for a while, nothing scripted, and, you know, being in the cave when it's all set at the right time is a really cool experience to be. But check out Jeremy Pound. He was really fun to talk to. Young CEO, really cool guy. It was 2 hours, too. We went deep into it. Let's see. There it is. That's what I was referring to earlier. All natural psychedelics. Add natural psychedelics to the list. That's what I posted. But marijuana could literally replace the 5 prescription drugs here. Vicodin, Xanax for anxiety, Vicodin for pain. Number 3, Adderall for ADHD. Number 4, Ambien for sleep problems. And you can't take an Ambien every day for the rest of your life. That's not okay. And number 5, replace Zoloft for depression. Imagine if those top 5 drugs that I just mentioned, and you were big pharma, and I just told you that I could replace those top 5 earning drugs. Of course you're going to publish all kinds of fucking research that marijuana will fucking kill you. Of course you're going to back up the propaganda. You're losing billions of dollars. But I mean, this shit is true. I mean, these are real things that exist out there. You know, another article I shared here from Cannabis Law Reform on Facebook is where it came from. But it's talking about how President Obama says it's time to end the war on drugs and start the war on addiction. Look, dude, war to war. What is our fucking obsession in America with having a war on everything we want to change? Why don't we just fucking change it? You know, I put on there, you know, we the people, blah, blah, blah. But you know, it's time to end the war on drugs. Well, we the people have been screaming that shit for almost a decade. Mind you, they're still locking up our brothers, our sisters, our aunts, our uncles, our mothers, our sons, our daughters, our fathers. They're locking people up for a huge long period of time. Why we contemplate ending the war on drugs. This is fucking retarded. There's children out there that don't have their fathers and all these things. This is bad. Just end the fucking war if it's we the people. Just stop it. Right? Oh, that's right. Too much money involved. Too many people wrapped up. Drives me fucking nuts. I appreciate sharing that article. In case you missed it last week, we interviewed Lee Camp. He was fucking awesome. Cool dude to talk to. Check out his show Redacted tonight. He covered some issues on his show about what the mainstream media didn't want you to know that happened in Iceland. And that takes me to also some of the issues that Lee has been covering on Redacted tonight that I'm going to parrot here. Is I also put a article on it on my Facebook page about the idea of how everyone is now pushing that Hillary Clinton is winning the debate. I'm not going to give you my political views here. I did a video on it. It's 14 minutes of hardcore. Holy shit. But my whole point here is if you noticed, even Fox News from the beginning has been selling that Hillary will win. They've been treating Bernie like, oh, isn't he cute? And now he's going away. And it's because he doesn't have super PACs and he's not paying millions of dollars in ad revenue to CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and all these media outlets. Because he's not doing that, if you look closely, CNN, MSNBC, all of them, all they did was talk about how Hillary won the debate, how Hillary's winning, when all of the direct polls online say differently. And what the fuck? So you see, the media is even corrupt because they're funded on money. everything stems on the money. If you want to see why things are happening and the problem is, just follow the money and you'll see. So if you start seeing all this news about how Hillary won, she's amazing, all these great Greenpeace stories on her, it's because you see they're scared. They don't want Bernie in. I don't trust fucking any politician. Let me just fucking get that straight, okay? Bernie's been in government since Moby Dick was a minnow. So I don't trust anybody. But it's the corruption part of the media that I was pointing out of that story, of how they just kind of tell you who's winning. And people just start to believe it. It's fucking unreal, man. Let's see. I shared a link here. Another one. Leaked UNODC paper calls for decriminalizing drugs use and possession. A UN document printed on letterhead mentoring a draft that apparently released on Friday, basically saying that we need to decriminalize everything. So coming even from the UNDOC or the UNODC are inside documents where people are saying that. You know, I have a friend that's deep in the marijuana business. Deep in the marijuana business. Let me repeat that. On the forefront of where legalization is sort of happening or not. And what he had told me is he has told me that right now there's a race to get all the money you can, all these big corporations, multinational corporations, trying to secure state laws and regulations so they can essentially own the rights to grow and distribute marijuana. When really, by possibly 2017, excuse me, my God, that coffee gets me, that by 2017, the federal government may decriminalize it altogether. And the reason they may have to do that is because too much evidence is beginning to leak out about how all the positive changes, about the reduction in overhead, the reduction of people in prison, all of the major changes that happened because of it. And Portugal started it way back in the day when they decriminalized everything. And look up some of the stats and facts that come with Portugal and how their whole country has changed because of it. So eventually what he's saying is this is going to become too present, too prevalent. People are going to know all the positive effects from decriminalization, et cetera, and they're going to be forced to. They can't hide it anymore. And so maybe that change is coming. It kind of feels like that sometimes, right? Like there's so much information out there that people get it. You know, you see all this information on bad foods. You've seen it now on, you know, the idea of preserved meat or processed meat, et cetera. Make sure you research some big differences there. But you see that the competence is getting out there to people. But then again, you still see how many people are obese. You still see how many people take a medication every day, right? 1 in 2, 50% of the population. So you see that stuff out there. But then again, you see what doesn't change. And so it's hard, right? It's hard to really see what's directly happening. Let's see. Alex Cross. I shared a great video on Alex Cross. I can't really sum up for you fast enough. Or Alex Cross. That's me. Alex Jones. Sorry about that, Alex. His video is long. He has a hell of a fucking podcast, by the way. If you're not, Alex Jones is actually another mention to me. I think BLK King from Facebook actually mentioned him to me. So shout out. I shared his video on there. It's really long. He's naming the elite party, if you will, naming those people, that 1%. Very interesting and worth watching. I also posted an article here that I got from the New York Post. I was trying to see who actually posted it. This was Daniel McNamara, my friend Danny, in New York right now. Because people heard about legalization, they've just kind of assumed that it's decriminalized too. So people in New York, downtown New York, are just kind of lighting up fucking joints and blunts like it's nothing. Just kind of standing on the corner. Nobody's really saying anything. And my headline that I posted on is, you can't arrest them all, right? So I like how in New York, they're just saying, you know what? It's legal, but most of them just think it's legal. They don't really know that you can actually still be arrested for doing so. What they did was take away the charge from a low amount possession. So now you get a ticket as opposed to being arrested. So people took this as you can just smoke in public. So it's kind of neat, though, to see what happens when people do assume something, whether it's real, whether it's known, or whether maybe they do know or they just don't give a fuck. What would happen? You know, what would happen if we all just said, you know what, fucking arrest us all? You know, it'd be scary if they tried to. But interesting article and a read. Damn, I posted a little bit about marijuana in the last week or two, huh? I sure did. Check out the article. I thought it was really good because it goes deeper. It talks about how cannabis has always been a medicine, and it's kind of a reality sandwich. And what they do, that's where it's from, is realitysandwich.com. What they do is they actually kind of cover the history of it. They're not just giving you the basic things here like I thought they would, you know, telling you all the things we've all heard and covered about marijuana, but they give you a little history all the way back in to Egypt and stuff like that. So it was a big deal. Check it out. It's worth knowing the history about it. You know, I know a lot of people that think they know about marijuana, and then all you got to do is say, well, which of the two strains do you like more? And they look at you like, what? You know, and so most people don't understand that there's sativa and indica. So, you know, research it, know it. The last article I'm going to talk about got a lot of play on social media. It was shared by a whole bunch of people. Let's see, 493 people ended up sharing this article. But it's on my Facebook page there. It came from Harvard University. It was an article done by healthharvard.com by Susan Farrell, MD. She's also a contributing editor. And this is health.harvard.edu. That's where you can find it. But it's harmful effects of supplements can send you to the emergency department. Like I just said, emergency department, emergency room. But anyway, what a morning. I apologize for the coughing there. So I'm going to zoom in on the article. And so it was a 10-year study where researchers looked at and surveillance data from 63 hospital emergency rooms and estimated an annual number of visits associated with adverse effects from dietary supplements. Authors define dietary supplements as herbal or complementary products and vitamin or amino acid micronutrients. Patients visiting the ER for symptoms related to supplements use were on average, they were about 32 years old, and women made up more than half of all visits. Just over 10% of the visits resulted in an admission to the hospital, especially among adults older than 65. Weight loss products accounted for 1 1/4 of the single product. So 1/4 of it, people are in there for weight loss products. We've all heard about those things too, the cutters or even the sexual enhancement ones and the bodybuilding ones, energy boosting products. That was about the 10% of the visits, right? Which was surprising to me because I thought personally that would be, you know, 80 to 90. When I started reading the article, I thought, well, of course, those things like Rip Fuel that came out, I think Jack 3D just had to get pulled too. You know, it's weird. It's like these things can come out and be in GNC and be completely illegal for a little while, and then enough people die and then they change them. But I personally read it and I thought, okay, it's going to be a lot of those Rip Fuel people. But it turns out that's only 10% of the people. There were even young adults were affected. Many children under 4 years old suffered allergic reactions and digestive system issues, nausea, vomiting, from unsupervised or accidental ingesting of vitamins. So all you helicopter parents out there that are all freaking out trying to make sure your, you know, 6-month-year-old has got the right micronutrients and vitamins. Look, just feed them right. Listen to the doctors. Don't start shoving vitamins down their throats and micronutrients in large pills unless doctors specifically ordered you to do so and you've double-checked and triple-checked those opinions, okay? And although the study findings are annual estimates based on ER visits to relatively small number of hospitals, they reflect the growing use of dietary supplements and micronutrients. These products are widely available without prescription. We all know that. As a result, dietary herbal supplements are widely perceived to be natural and safe. Most recent figure indicates that there are more than 55,000 such products available in the United States. So you're seeing it. They blow up all over the place. Look, I'm a fan. I'm an Onnit user. You see it right here. Onnit Earth Grown Nutrients I use. Onnit Alpha Brain I use. Shit, my guests end up taking an Alpha Brain many times before we dive into the podcast. The Shroom Tech I take generally before I do a kettlebell workout. So I have all my Onnit shit here. So although you see me, you know, reading this thing about how supplements can put you in the ER, and I'm a fan, I really wanted to post this article because people really assume they're safe because it came from GNC, because it came over the counter. They don't realize that you can kill yourself, man, and you can hurt yourself taking too many micronutrients even, right? So they talk about a little bit out of these 55,000 such products. You're seeing them all coming out. I mean, from neurotropics like Alpha Brain, which I'm a fan of, but you got to be very careful, especially if you're, you know, around depression, if depression affects you and mania affects you, et cetera. If you have these issues, you got to be careful messing with neurotropics, but great for concentration, focus. I love them. I also take a New Mood sometimes that has 5-HTP in it. That's also from Onnit. But I don't take that very regularly. I may take that after a long night of typing or writing on the book. But so they cover a couple things in the article, what you need to know before you take a supplement. While the FDA is charged with overseeing dietary supplements, there is no safety testing or FDA approval required before a new supplement goes on the market. Did you hear that? FDA does not have to approve or oversee dietary supplements, and there is no safety testing or FDA approval before a new supplement goes on the market. So they do their own testing. They tell you what they found in their own testing. I've already covered how research can be skewed to make it say how you what you want it to say. I mean, double-blind placebos are usually the best approach you can take, but they can become expensive in doing it. Onnit has done those double-blind placebos. let's see. There are no requirements that dietary supplements packaging list potential adverse effects, nor are there standards for maximum pill size. So they can make the pills as big as they want, stuff it with as much shit as they want to, and nobody's watching or really caring. They don't even have to list the harmful effects on the packaging itself. Healthcare providers may also neglect to ask patients about the use or the use of over-the-counter natural dietary supplements. Without that information, they may not recognize that any signs or symptoms the patients may be experiencing can actually be related to those products. So again, if you're seeing your doctor about this shit, please don't lie to your fucking doctor. If you're doing fucking blow every 3 days, tell the fucking doctor. Don't hide that shit. And tell them about the earth grown nutrients. Tell them about the new stuff in your diet, too. They need to know all that stuff when they're working with you, all right? Want to wrap up the article. Let's see. Molecules interact, dizziness, with safe approach. Basically, they're just saying, look, if you do decide to take vitamins, supplements, or herbal products, read safety labels. You know, do some research on them. Go farther than the reviews. Go farther than the actual sponsored research by the actual company. Ask a pharmacist. Ask your doctor or nurse. Review everything you can before you start taking it. And watch combining drugs. All right. I'm a big, you got to look out for crossing drugs, right? So if you're taking an over-the-counter medication and you're taking some prescribed stuff from the doctor and then you start throwing in some Alpha Brain, et cetera, you really got to watch your shit, all right? So be careful when you start mixing them. And don't trust your first doctor either. Don't trust all the shit you research. You're not a doctor either. So please, easy with the Google fucking research. But I'll give you this, and this will be the last little thing I'm going to cover before we end the podcast, but it's the top 10 herbal or complementary products associated with emergency room visits. Number one, weight loss. Number two, energy. Number three, sexual enhancement. Number four, heart health. Number five, sleep. Number six, laxative. Number seven, bodybuilding. Number eight, immunity or infection. Number nine, pain or arthritis relief. Number 10, detoxification or cleansing. Those are the top 10 herbal or complementary products that are winding people up in the ER for treating those things, right? I got to assume that if one out of two people in the United States has taken something, one of those has got to be it, right? All right, the top four vitamins associated with emergency room visits. A multivitamin or unspecified vitamin. Number two, iron. Number three, calcium. Number four, potassium. Taking too much of those vitamins can fuck your shit up, all right? Don't think that just because you're popping a bunch of vitamins, all that's okay, all right? And you'll just wait till you pee neon green in the morning, right? Look into what you're really taking. You don't need to just be taking things to take it. And most of the vitamins you can get just by eating the right food, okay? All right, that's a decent amount of fucking issues. We've got to just about an hour on the podcast. Let's see. There you go. I'll give you one little green story. How about this shit? It's on the Facebook too. It's shared from Spirit Science. The ginger juice bomb cures cold and flu symptoms. essentially lemons, apples, and scrape some ginger root in there. Do a couple shot of those, and it can really help out with some of the symptoms. Weather's changing, etc. So just a little shout out there. Yeah, been fun. I told you about the couple people coming up on the podcast. Let's see, I told you the guest coming up. We'll be doing that weekly. Join the Tribe of Change. Go to AdamLowry.com, CognitiveRampage.com. Join the Tribe of Change, and then I can actually invite you to be on these podcasts, like I said in the beginning. Sign up. I'll email you. You can join the recording of this Wednesdays at 8 or 9 a.m., some shit like that. And these podcasts will be dropping Thursday. So if it's Thursday and you're listening to the First Issues podcast, I hope you enjoy it. Hope you have a good rest of the day. Hope you're taking care of you.